Good evening. Happy to see everyone out today. It's a pretty day out there, a little bit cold, but pretty. And happy for everybody that's here. If you're visiting us, please come back anytime. We appreciate all of you being here on a Sunday night. And you know, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the fact that we should be at assembly. And we're going to talk about what the assembly is. And we're going to talk about what the assembly isn't. There's a lot of things that we're going to cover tonight. And we're going to cover some of the things that we do here in the Church of Christ. One of the things we do is we partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, I know all of you know that there are many congregations that meet in this very town, and they don't partake of the Lord's Supper. Maybe they partake of the Lord's Supper once a year, something like that. And we know that in Acts 20, verse 7, the early disciples, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they came together to break bread, and they did it every first day of the week. And so we have to be careful that we don't start putting our wishes or conveniences into the Bible, the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we read, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." It's very important to remember that and to put our mind back there. And one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was, I remember the first, I don't know how many years after I was baptized, I was thinking of other things when the Lord's Supper was going on, and most of the other time in services, I really was. You know, I was a teenager or whatever. And that reminds me of the fact that now, even now, you can start to drift out because we're sitting here. It's a very calm environment. I think it's very prime real estate for the devil to come in and take your mind right off of what it's supposed to be on. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to think back to what happened to Jesus on that day. How horrific it was, and by that, what a great sacrifice it was for Him to do that for us. And I think we should always try and remember that. Think back to that time. It's commanded, but it's also a wonderful blessing to think of what He did for us. Now, we're also here to sing praises. And we know that there are those, again, all over this town, all over this world, that will not only sing praises, but they will add things to the singing. And this has been happening a long time. There are people in the Lord's church that have drifted off and went in that direction. And I think it's because of entertainment. There's many, many reasons. It's also because you can draw more people in. It's more exciting. Maybe what we were talking about earlier, that little problem where your mind starts drifting, maybe it snaps you out of it. I don't know. I mean, probably it takes your mind further away, I think. But the thing about it is, we have no place in the New Testament that tells us that we can use instruments in our worship. So we need to be careful with adding things as well. It's taking things away. It's also adding things that can cause problems. In Hebrews 2, verse 12, we read, saying, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." So, singing praise, it's to come from our heart, according to Ephesians 5, verses 19 through 21. We are to sing with that instrument of our being, and we're not supposed to bring in something that the Bible doesn't authorize. But we should remember also the good point here, you know, not just going towards that negative side of what people do sometimes, but we should sing praises. And we should be thinking about those words. You know, we may not agree with every line in every song. Sometimes you'll read something like, I don't know about that. But the thing about it is, generally, all of our songs have such great messages. Preachers use them in sermons all the time. And you can read them. I think Brother John read one the other day in class or a couple weeks ago. And you can get such great messages out of those songs. And that's what we're commanded to do. Pay homage to the Lord and honor Him by singing. We're also to give as we've been prospered. And this is another thing that's somewhat difficult for some people. I think that this congregation has Very little problem with generosity. I'll just tell you what my opinion is. Very generous congregation here, but we need to make sure that we do set aside as we've been prospered. And there's no amount given in the Bible, in the New Testament. Anyway, in the Old Testament, there's a little bit in there, but in the New Testament, there's not anything given as to what portion you should set aside. But it should be something that's honorable and that makes you feel good, like you did something for the Lord. If we read 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also." And this is Paul speaking. "On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So this is something we should set aside every week, give that little portion to show that we love God and we know that all good things come down from God, James 1:17. What about how much? Well, I'm going to give you a little bit more on that since I've got it down here. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So if you can't give it cheerfully, the question is, are you really giving it? And I would say, no. You know, you need to give that cheerfully. If you're not giving it cheerfully, maybe you can work on that. What about prayer? Many of us, we pray at home, but we pray also in the assembly. And sometimes I think that we gloss over it a bit because it becomes something that we do so often. We pray every time we get together and we don't think of it as being as honorable as it is sometimes, I believe. And you know that for sure, but I'm talking to myself a lot here too. But the power of unified prayer in the assembly is extremely powerful. And when you have someone who's sick, when someone has passed away, and we're sorry for the people that have passed away and who are sick in this congregation, the power of prayer really comes out to the forefront there. And that's life. It has hills and valleys. And when you're in a valley, that prayer becomes so much more pronounced. It shouldn't be that way, but we are imperfect humans. And that's just the way it is a lot of times. But we can keep the hills down as low as we can, and God will pull up those valleys. And maybe we can keep it a little more level where we are always putting God in such a high, lofty position and always putting prayer in a high, lofty position. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, we read, "Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." So another thing we need to do is give thanks to God. And that's one of the ways that we can keep that prayer from drifting away from us and drifting down and not being as important. We can thank God every day. And when we thank Him, we're showing gratitude. And as we talked about a little while back, when you're feeling gratitude, you can't feel fear. And I think that's something that we need to remember. So if you're ever scared, if you're ever anxious, think about the things you're grateful for. That's why the gratitude list that you write down, those things really do work. But just sitting down thinking about the things that you're thankful for is also effective. And it will pull you out of that. I think sometimes, though, we don't want pulled out of it. I think sometimes, you know, we're down a little bit that day. And sometimes, as humans, we do get depressed or we do feel down. Maybe we should allow ourselves to feel that a minute and then try to pull out of it with prayer and gratitude. Now, what about evangelism? If we go out and we're an example, that's one thing I want to tell you, it is evangelism. When you are known as a Christian, that is a form of evangelism. When you're always willing to talk about Jesus, that is a form of evangelism. What we want to watch out for in this day and age is if we're somewhere where that's not welcome, do we hide it away? Do we keep things, you know, under a seal where people maybe they don't know? We have to be careful with that. Because when we do that, we're in a sense denying Christ, or we're ashamed of Him. And we do not want that to happen. But we do all have a part in spreading the gospel. And I've talked about this many times. Everybody's part is different. It changes from one age to the next. It changes as your physicality changes and you have different abilities to do things. So we just need to remember, in effect, that we are a Christian. We are a light in the world. We're the salt of the earth, and we need to represent that out in the world. We're also at the assembly to be instructed in the Word of God. And that's why Bible study, something that has a low attendance rate generally, is so important. If we can make it there, again, this is all judged based on your physicality, based on your abilities and ability to see at night, so many things. God understands all that. But if we have the ability, we should come to Bible study, study the Word of God in the assembly. And if we don't, we can do that at home. But we need to make Bible study a big part of our service. And on Sundays, we do that. We read Scripture, we have lessons, we have Bible study on Sundays, and we have Bible study on Wednesdays. But we need to get to as many of those as we can and also make it a part of our lives. It takes very little time to read a chapter of the Bible. And when you get started on it, you feel like you're missing something if you don't do it. But you have to get started on it, and that takes what we talked about this morning, action. Action's very difficult for us as human. Procrastination is my middle name. But what we have to do is we have to go right through it. The way to do it is just to go right through it. And let's read here in Acts 10, verse 33. It says, "We are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." So we want to hear the things that God commands. And I think there'd be a lot less deviation from the Word of God if more people studied the Word of God. They'd be able to see it. And I think that's one of the reasons we sometimes don't want to look. We're thinking, well, maybe I'm in violation of something. But we actually need to see that if we're in violation. We have people who avoid, you know, a lot of different things. Phobias, you know, looking at your bank account is one. Getting on a scale is one. People don't like that. You don't want to see it. I don't want to see that. I don't need to see that. But we do need to see this for sure. You know, you can avoid maybe some of those other things. If you don't look at your bank account, you might get in trouble. But we can avoid the scale probably, you know, pretty good, because this is our physical body. But with our spiritual body, we definitely don't want to avoid the Bible, the mirror that's going to show us if we're in violation of some command of God. And remember, this is spiritual food. So a lot of times we worry about food, we worry about our weight, we worry about this, we worry about that, we worry about the doctor, all these things. But the truth is that this spiritual food is what really matters. The other stuff, we're all going to pass away. This body is temporary, but the spiritual body lives on and on. So we should always put that in first priority. And this is coming from somebody who was a personal trainer and all this stuff. I mean, I'm a workout guy. And I will tell you, that is not the most important thing at all. Because as you age, you can get sick at any time. There's so many things. This body is frail. But the number one thing is to take care of your spiritual body. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3, we read something about the intensity of this study. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." So if we're still stuck in the world, we're like babies. And we can't handle reading this. You remember that line, "Can't handle the truth." Jack Nicholson. Well, the truth of the matter is that a lot of people can't. It's like trying to feed steak to a baby. And so we always need to take into account where the person we're talking to is as well. We need to give them the amount of information that they can handle and be careful not to go any further. There's basics in the Bible, and then there's things that go deeper. And we always want to make sure we're taking into account where a person is spiritually when we're talking to them. But our goal is to graduate from baby into adulthood spiritually, to be able to handle everything that's in the Bible. Not that we won't be in violation sometimes, but that we always try to get out of that and get back into the right relationship with Christ. We're also here because we want to be pleasing to God. Again, we talked about this morning, everything good comes from God. And the sun out there, the spring that's coming, all the little flowers, everything, it's amazing what God has made. And I remember I watched a YouTube video, this must have been 6 or 7 years ago, and they were showing rain. That was all it was. But it was from a high viewpoint, and it was in this dry, barren landscape, and you could see the clouds, and you'd see that rain come down, and you're just thinking, God's watering the earth. I mean, it is literally like somebody watering plants. And you just think, wow. All the inventions that we have, even a computer, you know, this iPad, it's able to do calculations and all, it's modeled really on the brain. And they can't even come close. Not even close. But we get our ideas from the creations of God that we see in nature. And we need to be thankful for all those things. And we need to come here. And we need to try and please Him. You know, we try to keep His commands. We worship in the way that He wants to worship. I always think about if a king, somebody very important, your favorite president, if he was wanting an order or a meal cooked for him, and he gave you what he wanted, 5 items, most of us, if it was somebody we really respect, would definitely not leave out one of those items. But all the time, people want to leave out the items that God, the creator of the universe, requests. And we're going to go over those, his menu, the plan of salvation, at the end of this lesson. And we're going to hear what he wants. And the question is, are we going to prepare that for him? Are we going to do that for him? We're also here, we want to be strengthened. We want to be encouraged. And this is very important. When we're here, we should be in a positive mood. We should be thankful. We should have that gratitude we were talking about. We should treat people with kindness, with respect. We should love each other. And we should strengthen and edify each other, build each other up. And too many times, you know, people will get together and they'll tear each other apart, right? Think about high school. You know, there were some groups in high school that didn't interact with other groups, right? Some people could kind of go between everybody. I think I was a go-between. I usually sat with some of the... I was a nerd, you know, so I sat there. But the point is, you know, I could also go over here and go over there. But we want to make sure that in the Lord's church, we try not to have sects. And we try not to have little groups. We try to make everybody an equal. It's hard sometimes. People are different. We have different personalities. But we try to make everybody belong. And what about worrying? How many of us here worry? How many are anxious about what's coming up? You have literally zero control over what's coming, right? A lot of times. Now, sometimes we do. But a lot of the time, you've done everything you can. So now you're going to expend an extreme amount of energy worrying about that thing. So you'll be extra tired when it's time for you to probably do the thing. And what does Jesus say about that? In Matthew 6, verse 34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And I think about that because I got in this thing last night of this thought pattern combined with, it was an hour later because I set my clock forward and I was going to preach this morning and I don't want to be tired when I'm preaching. And it turned into, I went to sleep about 3:30 by this new time, and then I got up at 7 or something like that by the new time. So I got about 3.5 hours of sleep. And the more I thought about it, stop doing this, you need to stop doing this, the more it would go. And so I'm guilty too. But Jesus is right. And worrying and having anxiety And even when you can't go to sleep and then worrying about not going to sleep, well, that adds stress on top of the fact that you're not getting sleep. So all these things snowball out of control, and there's a time to let go and let God. Now, what about error? You know, there is such a thing as fatal error, fatal for the soul. And we don't want to have a part of that at all. So that means we've got to be constantly checking our little checklist here, our flight plan, and make sure that we're always following the Bible. In 1 John 4, verse 1, we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We won't spend a lot of time on this one, but there are people that will mislead you. And so always check. Check by what you know from your past, and check by the Bible, the Word of God, to make sure somebody's not leading you astray. A lot of people out there, especially in this age of social media and all these things, people can gain power, they can gain some kind of clout, and people listen to them just because they have that clout. And finally, we should enjoy being here at services. We should enjoy coming together, praising God, who gives us all the stuff all the way through the week. All of that food, the showers. You know, I was reading about, I believe it was Vietnam, and they were talking about, no, it was the Korean War. This one was the Korean War. And how long it had been since they had a bath, and that they all went in this place that had a stand-up bath, and they got in the bath, and he said he was the last one in, and he was scraping stuff off the top of the water by the time he got in there. And the point of it is that, you know, we take a shower, we don't appreciate that. We don't appreciate hot water. I'm speaking for myself a lot here. You may very much appreciate that and think about it every time, but I don't. And I want to be more appreciative of those things. Now, I do give thanks for my food regularly, but not every time. And I think that we should do that. That's one of the things when I came here, you know, everybody would give thanks before they ate. We should really do that every time. Just say, thank you, God, for this food. All the things He gives us. And we should be joyful to come here and praise His name. And we also want to be joyful because this is going to result in us being saved eternally. And there is no greater thing than that. You can have all the riches. You can have all the glory. You can have everything. And you watch that clock tick, don't you? You watch that clock tick and nothing can stop that clock. They say, you know, in sports, Father Time is undefeated. And He is. But I'll tell you one way that you can defeat Him, not physically but eternally, is through Jesus. With Jesus, you can beat time. And what are we going to get? Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." All of us who experience sickness, all of us who experience death, it's all going to be gone. All of it's going to be made right. And 1 Peter 1, verse 4 tells us it's an inheritance incorruptible. Everything here can be corrupted, can it? But not that. And Hebrews 11, 10 tells us it is a city which has foundations built by the living God. There's no city on earth like that, no matter how impressive. Heaven should be our top goal in life. And with a goal like that, we should be very, very pleased to come here and worship the Almighty God. And if you have need tonight of peace and joy, if you want to have all these things we've talked about where you can worship God properly, then I want you to listen to this plan of salvation. And if you haven't followed it, I want you to come down here and we'll get that taken care of. The first thing you need to do is you need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Then you need to believe in God and that Jesus is the Son of God, Hebrews 11, 6. You need to repent of your sins. That means turn away from them, Luke 13, 3. You need to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Matthew 10:32. You need to be baptized. Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38. And then you need to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. If you have need to make things right tonight, or if you have need to become a Christian, I ask that you come now as together we stand and sing.